96.1 KZL.
96.1 KZL, rocking with Aerosmith. Walk This Way. It is 8:12 and time to head on down Interview Alley. Another opportunity to interview, in this case, the great Carl Verheyen. He's on the line with us, and he's bringing his band to town yet again on Monday night at the Wow Hall. We strongly suggest you take in this show. He was here last year and just was absolutely terrific. Just a terrific guitar player and all-around cool guy. Carl, welcome to the show.
Yeah!
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on the radio.
Absolutely. My partner, John Frederick, is sitting in this morning
as well.
Good
morning, Carl.
I'm John.
I'm John Carl Frederick.
All right. So, well, you got the right middle name, at least.
Couple of Carls here.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, start with just telling us a little bit about yourself. Where were you raised? How old are you? You know, you got a big family, or what's going on with you personally?
I'm getting pretty old. I think I'm 62, born in California and raised in Pasadena.
Okay.
And I got my first guitar at age 11, and I got my first lesson on that birthday, too. Same birthday. Got a guitar in the morning and a lesson in the afternoon, and so pretty much never looked back.
Mom and Dad musical, is that kind of where it started, or that you just wanted to play, or what?
I think it was more I just wanted to play, but those guys were fairly musical too, especially my dad. He played a little drums and played piano as a kid. So, but he sang like Frank Sinatra all the time.
Now, you know, you're a fabulous guitar player. In terms of your history with guitar, starting at 11, do you have a warehouse full of them? Or
I actually do, yeah.
No
I
doubt.
I have a good 75 or 80 guitars, but I tell my wife we have 50.
Oh, so you're married too. I know how that goes. All right.
Do you have, you know, at a 75 or 100 or whatever, do you normally just pick up a couple? Or I always think of Willie Nelson's old beat up, you know, holes in it guitar and all that. Do you just have one that you generally gravitate to?
Well, no, because basically they're all different textures and colors. And so when you're making a record, you want to be able to layer these various textures in, and so there's lots of acoustics, and then there's lots of electrics and 12 strings and dobros and baritone guitars. There's all kinds of sounds you can get, and I go as far as to layer in the various different types of tubes in tube amplifiers. You know, so you have one kind of tube stacks up the harmonics one way, and another kind of tube will stack them up another way, and they just make for a richer tapestry of sound.
Interesting.
I sound like I'm wanking here, but
no, not to me. I mean, I'm a huge Beatles fan, so it's like kind of like for me, it'd be like collecting the various instruments that they all used on different tracks. You know,
and, you know,
to try to get that same sound.
As a studio musician for many, many years, I needed all those kind of sounds.
Totally.
And so, I mean, I played on hundreds and hundreds of records and TV shows and movies and stuff like that, really before I started touring with my own band. And there were many, many years, 20, 25 years of producers saying, hey, do you have a Gretsch guitar, or do you have a Rickenbacker 12-string, or can you get that sound like on Every Little Thing by Paul McCartney, you know, or this kind of thing. So I pretty much, every time one of those things was needed, I just had to buy it and had to have it. And luckily for me, I pretty much hung on to anything that sounds good. And
yeah.
So at this point, I've got a great collection of tones, as we call it. And so, then there's another category. The stuff you want to use live is oftentimes different than the very, very valuable vintage gear that, is my son's college education. But actually, he's in college, and I haven't had to sell any of it yet. So that's good.
Nice.
Yeah. We're chatting with Carl Verheyen. He's bringing himself, Carl Verheyen Band, to the Wow Hall on Monday night. And just fantastic. Guitar Magazine raves about you. And, you know, you're in the top 10 guitarists in the world and all that kind of stuff. And a couple of things.
Made that sound so easy. Oh, you're in the top 10 in the world. No big deal.
Hate to skim right over that.
Right.
But, you know, they say that you're an instructor and you're certainly a performer. You've taught Fogerty and, you know, gave all these big. How do you see yourself, like 50-50 instructor performer, or does performer go 51 instructor 49, or how's that?
Well, you know, I look at it differently. I think of it as a solo artist. You know, as a solo artist under the banner of that heading, you can do many different things, and one of them is education. You know, I do master classes and clinics and stuff all over the world, and then you can also produce other people. So that becomes another part of how I make a living, you know, is producing other people's records.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, performing and making my own records. So, but I think of it as like solo artist as the main thing. And then there are days when there's education involved with teaching people or instructing classes or whatever else. You know, for a while there, USC, University of Southern California, had me teach a course called Advanced Electric Guitar in the Style of Carl Verheyen, which is pretty silly. But I did it for a while, and then, you know, when I go out on the road or something, of course, you need a substitute to do it. So it just didn't really work out for me to keep doing that because, you know, you can't.
Hard to fill your shoes.
Yes, having somebody else do me is kind of silly, although.
Right.
Anyway,
Mr. Peterson's here today. Now, he doesn't play a guitar, but he's pretty mean tonette player.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, anyway, one other thing, and I was thinking about this to myself, to try and get inside your head, you know, what goes on in your noggin to be able to play as good as you can, to be up there playing, do you just, you know, go through it without even thinking about it? Do you really get into it? Is each one an individual? What's it like to be you, to be able to play that good, and you're up there playing guitar?
Well, that's a very nice compliment in the form of a question, so thanks a lot, Mark. I look at it like this. I divide my life into various set lists because there are times when I do solo acoustic guitar shows and tours and concerts. There's my own band. There's other people's bands that I might sit in with, and then I play in Supertramp. And as any one of those tours is approaching, I really work on the material and make sure I have it down cold. And my motto is, I will not suck. And therefore, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not iffy or sketchy on any of the material, and I'm just ready to go. And you know what I find the hardest thing to do? Remember the damn lyrics. You know,
that's
the hardest thing to do is because there's a lot of songs and, you know, I remember where they go musically and I wrote them, you know, but it's really hard to remember, was this the second verse or was this the third verse? And, you know, so I'm always practicing that stuff, like, you know, before falling asleep and stuff like that every night.
Well, as funny as it may be, I am currently writing a song, and I'm soliciting help for a couple of lines. We recently spoke with Richard Williams of Kansas, and he gave me the end of this line, and I was hoping you'd help me with the next line.
Okay.
The first line goes, woke up this morning late for work, no time for coffee, I feel like, and Richard said, breakfast.
There you go.
And so the next line goes, grabbed a piece of toast and headed out the door, turn the keys, fire up the engine.
And fell right down on the floor.
All right.
Nice.
Got it.
I love the way he's building the song, and when it's all done, he can put all of you guys on as credits.
Right,
yeah,
yes.
That's going to be good. I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes a couple left turns there.
Right, totally.
Just a couple of quick things, because I know you're busy and got to go and don't have all morning. Your new album, The Grand Design, and say a couple of words about that. And then also... so we get a really good turnout Monday at the Wow Hall, because, man, you are worth it. Somebody want to come and see? Buckethead was here the other day, and Joe Bonamassa, and Satriani, and stuff. But, I mean, it's almost like they have followed your lead. And, I mean, no disrespect to them, but, man,
Certainly you are not great
on guitar. So a little bit about the new album, and then why should people come and see you? What kind of show are you going to put on Monday night?
Well, I'm so proud of my band. It's a world class group of musicians, and they're also the guys that made the records. So they have a vested interest in making it sound wonderful, you know. And the beautiful thing down in L.A., there's just such an incredible talent pool to choose from. So that's where my band is from. Actually, though, my drummer's from Oakland, and he's played from everybody from Sly and the Family Stone to, he did Steve Miller Band for a while. I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff. He's just a wonderful player. I'm going to lose him next year, though, because he's just gotten called to do 10 months of Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
That new play, yeah. You know, and he's a great sight reader, so that's what they need for that kind of a gig. The bass player, Dave Marotta, has been with me for many, many years, an old friend, and he's played on tons of number one records and stuff like that. But the interesting thing about the Grand Design is that we did it in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We did it at a place called Sweetwater Sound. And the way it went down, Sweetwater is a great big music retail shop that mails out 3,500 to 5,500 items a day. So if you want a microphone stand or a microphone or a guitar, some strings, and whatever you want, they've got it, and they'll mail it to you practically overnight. So they're those guys. And at one point about a year and a half ago, they called me and said, "We love your music. We love your band. We'll fly you out here and pay you to play while we conduct a recording workshop." So I was flown out there to do that with my band. And then a second time, and both times, by the way, they said, "You can keep your masters." So I'm getting songs recorded for free, and they're paying us to do it. And then at some point, after two songs were in the can, they said, "Look, we just want to finish this record here." And I said, "Fine, but I want to bring my guitars out. I don't want to grab guitars off the wall in the music store, because I've spent a lifetime collecting and tweaking and getting the best sounding gear and instruments together." So they said, "No problem. Get it trucked out here." So I got my tour manager to rent a Mercedes Sprinter and pull a giant trailer.
Wow.
And bring that stuff across the country twice. It was pretty crazy.
Wow.
But, man, it was so fun to just move in. You know, like I imagine a baseball player who's going on the road, you know, like one of the L.A. Dodgers, and he goes to play baseball in Cincinnati. And really, he doesn't have a bunch of family. He doesn't have a bunch of friends. All he has to do is think about the game. And the phone isn't ringing, and there's no honeydews to do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, oh yeah.
So in that sense, it was kind of like that. You know, you wake up in the hotel room, head down to the studio, and you only have the music to concentrate on. And that was a real pleasure. I really enjoyed making a record out of my hometown.
So are you saying you couldn't find a lot to do in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
I'm Fort Fun, we call it.
And again, plug your show Monday night. Why should people turn out to see you?
Oh, man, we have so much fun playing, and I believe it's really an infectious thing. You know, when the musicians are exploring and jamming and going for it, you know, I think that really wears off it really rubs off on the audience. And the Wow Hall sounds really good. I mean, I've played there now three or four times, and I know Monday night is a rough night to come out, beginning of the work week and all that. But you know, we won't keep you out till 1 a.m. We play an hour and 40-minute show, something like that, and we play acoustic and electric and a few cover tunes. I even throw in a Supertramp tune.
Good.
And
I know last year when you did the Beatles, I think Taxman, or it was just terrific. You got
thanks. Yeah, we did.
Great voice. Your voice is terrific. Matches your guitar playing. Enough gushing on my part. Just turn out to see the Carl Verheyen Band. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on the air and for coming through Eugene again. We're looking forward to it.
And for helping me write this song. I just got this writer's block.
Yeah, no problem, man. We'll get that thing finished.
All right.
Hey, Carl, have a safe trip up here. And again, thanks. We're big fans.
Oh, great. Thanks so much. And listen, I got to tell you, Mark, so many times I do radio interviews in towns, in places I'm going to be. We just did a giant East Coast tour the entire month of June. And the radio guy will say, "Yeah, I'll see you there." They never turn out. So I really appreciate last year that you actually came to our show. That was really cool. Meant a lot to me.
Be there Monday night, too. So my little wife and I will say hi real quick.
Great. All right. See you then.
Okay, bud. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There he is, Carl Verheyen, the Carl Verheyen Band, coming to the Wow Hall on Monday night.
Rock since 1969. 96.1 KZL.